All right. I'm glad we're here this morning. It's raining, and I hope they could take off the radio so those who are listening in the camp, they need to be here instead of over there. I'm going to get the radio shut. Well, we're glad that you could be with us here. As a matter of fact, today, my wife and I, we're supposed to conduct this seminar, and I want you to know you wouldn't regret. We are here today with you to share with you from the Word of God when it comes to family. We are basically operating as the Family Life Director for the conference. Even though I'm a pastor, my wife is doing her doctorate right now in family life. She is basically doing most of her study in the care of the senior, the quality of life for seniors. And so therefore she will basically do most of it. I'll be there just to back her up. And so those on the outside, while they're coming, we want to have a word of prayer as we begin. Loving God and Heavenly Father, we are eternally grateful that you are God and beside you there is none other. So may you be with us today, O Father, in this presentation. And I pray that you will allow each one of us to know the importance of family. Lord, without families, where we would have been today. So we want to thank you for those families who are strong in Christ. So bless us through this seminar. And we just want to thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is said that families are in peril. Our generation is watching the death of marriage and the family. As we know it, amongst the factors that's contributing to broken homes and broken families is immorality, adultery, fornication. It goes on, delinquents, sexual rebellion. All those things are like strands in a cord that is strangling the family. Many times we don't want to talk about it because it becomes too personal. But I want you to know that God has a way in helping us to develop very strong families. There are many opinions about the restructuring of the family. Some sociologists say marriage needs to change. They say we need open marriage. As a matter of fact, they say we don't need marriage. As a matter of fact, in North America here, they redefined marriage. And so, it doesn't matter. People want to come together, they want to live anyhow, and everybody wants God out of the picture. We want God out of our vocabulary, we want God out of our home. We want to do what we want to do when we want to do it without God. So the families are crumbling right in this campground. There are many families, even in the trailers right now, are struggling. They are suffering, but suffering silently. Nobody wants to talk about it. Because in the church, it's taboo to talk about the struggles that we're experiencing in our lives. We don't want to hear about it, but as a pastor, I could tell you daily, I attend to many, many couples, young and old, those who just got married and those who were married for 40 years. It's happening. And we need to face the reality. And we need to deal with it. Now, it is time for us as Christians to reiterate the divine pattern. Our marriages and families should demonstrate a way of living that is rewarding, that is meaningful, and that is fulfilling. The divine pattern should be evident that the world as it looks as Christian marriage and families, unfortunately, the world's problems of divorce has also become the problem in the church. But God has a divine standard, and we should not deviate from the standard that God has established for us for our families. If family means much to you, and families mean much to me, then I believe we should be filling this auditorium just to know, is there a word from the Lord? How can I have a better family? How can I deal with the situation that come to me? Where should I turn? To whom shall I go? Now, if we don't preserve the family, society will crumble, the home will crumble, the church will crumble. The church is as strong as its families. You have a weak church? Check it out. You have weak families. You have a strong church? Check it out. You have strong families. So when it goes, everything goes. The ability to pass on meaningful advice to the next generation is lost when there is no communication and there is no discipline. Every society becomes an entity itself, and those who are loudest, the most vocal, will dominate. And that's what we see in America. And that's what we are seeing in Canada. You make the most noise, you will get more attention. We are not making enough noise for families. We are not making enough noise for the Word of God. We are not making enough noise in the churches and speaking about family values. Sure, we speak about prophecy. Sure, we speak about the second coming. Sure, we speak about the state of the dead. Sure, we speak about tithing. Sure, we speak about all these things. They are good. But if we fail to speak about the family and family values, we are heading down the wrong road. And so today, we want to do our part to help, as I try to help in my church and I try to help in the community. What my wife and I are planning on doing, we are dedicating our lives to God and to service for this conference by helping churches, helping members create strong, healthy families as we walk with Him. For those who are here, do you really want to have a strong family? Do you want to have a strong family? We all want to have strong families. And by the grace of God, when we are done today, we're going to set the pace. Tomorrow, by Thursday, when you walk out from here, your life will never be the same, and that's a guarantee. If you have a husband around campground, bring him. If he doesn't want to come, tell me, I'm going to find him. If he's at work, tell him take the day off, because he tends to make excuse sometimes. And if you don't want to call him, give me the phone number. I'll call him. And if you have a wife who wants to stay in a trailer and she just wants to get under a blanket and listen through the radio, tell her it's better alive. The interaction is better live. Not on a radio. You could turn on the radio and listen to Dobson, but you come here and you will listen to Ali. Because I want you to know that I'm not what I am today if it wasn't for the grace of God. And I want you to know it is because I have a good wife who grew up a Seventh-day Adventist that I am what I am. Because she helped, by the grace of God, to discipline and to train me what a Christian man ought to be. Because I wasn't all the time what I am today. And so we could talk about families and the challenges of families. You will be amazed. The amount of appointments that I have at my church. You will be amazed at different locations I will go to meet with families, sometimes in private. So look, I'm doing it all free here. So if you're in your cabin or your trailer, get your umbrella and come, and we're going to have a wonderful time here. And at this time, I'm going to ask my wife. She's the expert on all this. And she will continue from here, and we're going to share.
Hello, everyone. I know it's rainy outside, and it will be raining some more as we go through the rest of the week for camp. So we're not going to let the rain stop us. We're going to get together, and whatever program we have to attend, we're going to do our best to do that so that we support each other. As I sat and listened to my husband, so many things flashed through your mind. When you think about the families and what it is about creating happy families or healthy families or strong families, we use different terminologies, but it comes down to the same thing. Healthy families. What are we talking about when we say healthy families? As my husband mentioned, my background is nursing, and we tend, as nurses, we focus on preferably promoting health. So we don't want things to happen and then we run to the rescue. When things happen, it is sometimes unfortunate. And as human beings, we know things will happen that we didn't plan for. So when it comes to healthy families, and the beauty of it in creating healthy families, we are looking at signs. Signs that will disturb the family. Signs that will prevent the family from experiencing joy and fulfillment. So we deal with promotion. So when we come together as a group, when we come together as pastors and spouses and Bible workers, we are talking and sharing with each other in the essence of preventing things from happening in our homes that will tear them apart. And we know, as my husband pointed out, Satan is busy and he's seeking to destroy your homes. So we who are armed with the gospel and armed with the words of God, we will apply these information so that our homes will thrive and become successful, and that we can be what? Examples in the community. We will have brokenness, we know, but we have an altar that we can come to and have it repaired. But first we have to recognize where our brokennesses are, what caused our brokenness, and then we then try to fix it. But how can we fix it? How can we fix it? Jesus.
That's it.
Amen. And for us to fix the brokenness in our homes and our families, and we say we can only fix it through Jesus, that means we have to have a relationship with him. We will not be covering all those aspects today. We are going to give you the starting point of creating healthy families. As we go through the rest of the week, we will talk about relationships. We'll talk about single families. We will incorporate as much information as we can that we can use, we can apply. Because one of the things in life is that we can get a lot of information. And I tell you, as Seventh-day Adventist Christians and those who may be visiting on the campgrounds from other denominations and you're meeting us for the first time, we have lots of information. But one thing, and in my studies, if we have the information and we cannot apply to our lives, it's meaningless. I believe in research. I do research. But if my research goes on the shelves and it's not applied in a clinical area for nurses, families, and other allied health care workers to put together to make patient life better, to improve the quality of life, then research is useless. So today, as we delve into tips that will help us to create healthy families, I know that whatever tools we pick up, whatever tools we share, we will apply it and we will be better families in the community, in the church, and being prepared as we walk with him. My husband mentioned also that my research work or my studies in family involvement, and that is in gerontology, care of the elderly, older adults. And I will be talking about that another morning. But I just want you to know, all those who are seniors and even you're young at heart and you want to know more about this aspect of family life, be here. And I will share as much information as I can. Because remember that we may not be in need of help right now, but as we get older, we have to lean on each other. And sometimes it is not age, but sometimes we have different illnesses that come our way. And we have to have the help and the support of each other, of our families, neighbors, extended friends, so that we can make it through. And
there's a new definition of family. Do you know that? Now, what's the definition? What's definition of family? You know, while my wife was studying, she came home and she told me one day, do you know there's a new definition for family? I said, is that right? And then she said, yes, they're trying to push a new definition. But we know what the real definition is, right? We know what's the definition. You have any idea what's the definition of family? We talk about family.
We talk about families, and we know growing up, we have a mom and a dad and a boy and a girl. That's a million-dollar family. We look at the Garden of Eden, and we know we started with Adam and Eve. Not Adam and Steve, but times have changed over the years. So what happens now? We have families, and we are here to depict, I think, our family starting with husband and wife.
The bulb is gone.
And or you may not be able to see, yes, the bulb is gone, but we have a chain reaction of interconnectedness as the family grows and extend. And we as Christians, we talk about the family of God. In today's world, as I do my research and I look at the different aspects of family, definition could be anything. But let's keep it as close as possible. We know that families could be extended families. The person who the older adults consider as a family could be a neighbor who has been caring, assisting, dropping off the mails, helping with the groceries, and that person is considered a family. Now, friends who have stuck beside older adults in their care are hoping that they will be recognized legally as families, but we have not reached that far unless you put it in your health care directives. Now, in today's society, you know, the family setting, two moms or female equal mom and dad. You have two males equal mom and dad. Times have changed. But as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, the basis and the origin of our family, the nuclear family, is what we're here to present. If you have extended families as those who help, that's okay. Because the important thing is that you are getting support in the families. And as you age and as we change its circumstances in our lives. But whatever the world does, remember as God's children, we are supposed to lead the world, not to be led by the world. So as we look at our families, we hope that we will be able to present helping each other. And one more thing, we have single families because some of us have become single for different purposes and reasons. We may have lost our husbands or our wives. Others, because we got the benefit of rearing children without the help of a clergy. Sometimes it's an unfortunate situation and some brokenness happens. We embrace those who need help. Our single parents who are struggling, that's a big topic and we will discuss it. But on the whole, our Heavenly Father looks at all of us as His children as we stand as a family of God.
Now, if you notice the cycle of family, young couple get married, and they're off on the honeymoon. I'm sure some of you could still remember your honeymoon. We went down to St. Kitts, and when we came back, we were looking for the photograph. Unto this day, we have never seen one. And, you know, we don't even remember now. Anything that we could reflect on. But you get married. And then you move on. And then you have children. And then as you have children, then, you know, your grandparents, they have grandchildren. And then you move on, you get a little older. And as you get a little older, you become a senior. And as you become a senior, you go through the life cycle. Everybody want to stay young. But I want to focus a little on the younger couples. Do you know it's an alarming rate how young couples, after 1 year, sometimes less than a year, the struggles they're having in their relationships. The struggles they're having in their relationship. Even though they go through premarital counseling and some don't even want it. But after they say the I do, and then all the glamour and all what they catered for. And when all is said and done, you meet that young couple 3, 4, 5 months and you see tears running down. Most time, 99% of the time, is the young woman. What happened? What went wrong? But you see, when we fail to have strong families, your son's going to be weak and your daughters are going to be weak. But when we bring them up in the fear of God and they grow up in an environment where God is number one, they'll treat their wives as princesses. And the women will treat their husbands like prince. Because they grow up in an environment, young men always follow after what they see in their homes. Monkey see, monkey do. And that is true. Our children will pattern what they see in the home. As a matter of fact, my father, he's taping this, you know. Now, my father was a drunk. And everybody thought that we will grow up to be that. And so therefore, in our family, there was dysfunction. Dysfunctional family. My mother died when I was just 4. So I grew up basically with my grandmother, bless her heart. She did the best. But how could she take care of rebellious children? There was dysfunction. The only reason I am where I am today, it is because of the grace of God that I moved from under my family line and I went under Jesus' line. Amen? And so therefore, that's the only way I am what I am. So the key to having a healthy family is Jesus. When Jesus is in the vessel, we shouldn't fear the storm. And so Jesus must be the centerpiece in our relationship. So the cycle of the family, if Jesus is not in the center of your home, if Jesus is not in the center of the home where the altar is placed morning and evening, then we are heading down a path of destruction.
My husband just mentioned the word dysfunction. And I just want to say something on that in relation to the family and healthy families. I'm not sure anyone has asked the question, what do we mean by healthy families? Any ideas? What does a healthy family look like?
I'm sure we have some bright students out there. I see some individuals who have been through the storms of life and they're still standing together.
Oh, you can't hear?
Working together.
Working together as a family. Thank you. Any other suggestions? What does a healthy family look like? Praying together.
Respect. Respect, praying together. That's a healthy family. Anyone else?
Communication. Now, and that's one of our topics we're going to deal with too.
I'm glad somebody mentioned communication. Do you know? Researchers are telling us that the number one problem in a home, it's not money. Mm-hmm. It's communication. Communication. And if we get that well, by the grace of God, we could do.
Because we'll be sharing and talking. We are not hiding things and holding things. And then we tell Mary, Jane, and John. But that's another topic coming up. The aspect of looking at a family, it's very hard. We may see a family come and sit on the front bench and they're beautiful, well-dressed, children's hair nicely combed. And he said, that's a happy family. But we not necessarily can look at a family and say the family is happy. We hope we'll be able to do that. One of the things that a healthy family, as we would look at the World Health Organization's definition for health, being a healthy person, is not merely the absence of sickness, but is a state of mental, psychological, emotional well-being. Because someone could be in a wheelchair, unable to do for him or herself, and that person has a healthy sense of self. So when we look at a healthy family, we're looking at aspects of respect, family that communicates very well, have a strong relationship, and above all, the family that strives to be who Jesus wants that family to be. Where mothers stand up to take care, and fathers as priests, and my husband will talk a little more on that. But the important thing is that, how do we define health? And one of the things is that, just as we seek in the physical realm to have a sense of well-being or quality of life, we would like for families to reflect healthy lifestyle and reflect the quality of life that Christians, people who serve God, should reflect. And when those in the community and your neighborhood looks at you and looks at us, what will they say? This home, there's something special about this home. There's something special about that little boy and girl. My husband mentioned about his growing up. And one of the things I can remember, I'm from Jamaica originally, and Toronto now became homeland for us there. One of the things I can remember growing up, if we are walking in the neighborhood and we didn't say, good morning, Mrs. Jones, or good morning, madam, or something like that, they would say, that's not Mr. Campbell's children. The thing about it is that the aspect of respect, that was very important to us growing up. Respecting those who are older. And even if the person is not much older, but the sense of respect was there. And it's important that we embed this in our children, because when they do and they come into the house of God, that will be reflected, because they know that there is a Savior and there's a Creator. So as we, in many aspects, work at creating healthy families, it's not that you do it alone. We do it together, because we are a family of God.
I believe in order for us to have a healthy conference, healthy churches, and healthy homes, there are four mandates that we need to look at. Four mandates for a healthy home, a healthy church, a healthy conference. Four, I give you four. Number one, family reformation must begin at the home. Are you agree or disagree? It must begin at the home. You cannot expect to allow children to run rampant and then come to church and ask the pastor to take care of them. It will never happen. So it begins at home with discipline and the Word of God. Now listen to what the Word of God says here in Psalm 101. I will walk within my house and in integrity of my heart. I will walk within my house and in the integrity of my heart. You and I could attest to the very fact. When there is a problem in our homes with our children, with husbands and wives, and we go out in church and we go out in society, we pretend that everything is all right. And it's not all right. But we don't want to talk about it. But it must begin at home, with openness at home. Husband and wives and children need to come together and discuss issues by the grace of God. And if Jesus is in the midst and we are humble enough, God could work out the issues in our lives. Amen? And you know, you know, I know when a couple isn't doing well in church, you know. You want me to tell you how pastors know these things, but you see, he's recording and I can't say what I want to say. And that's what sometimes, you know, there are some things I want to say to you very personally. And I'm hoping the next time we come a little closer and I wouldn't have this, that I could talk to you and let you know from the heart. Let you know some things in the heart that I could share with you personally that I guarantee your life will be strong, your marriage will be strong, and you will be in a healthy church by the grace of God. But once you tape me and once you videotape me, I can't say all what I want to say. I really want to say some things. But for the seminar, we'll go on. And so therefore, it must begin at home. Now, there are challenges that we face in a home with our children. Number one, you have to understand, I know you can't see it up there. The challenge is, let me read it, peer pressure. Your children are growing up, they get out to school. Well, if Jane is doing it, John could do it. So peer pressure is heavy on our children. And you and I got to admit it. Sometimes we wonder, are these the children I brought up? Do you know sometimes our children have more confidence in their friends on the outside than us in the inside? Isn't that true? And so the next thing, unresolved anger. All of us go through this. Do you know when a couple get married, when we get married, you know what we do? You bring your baggage, your wife bring her baggage, and then we start to open up our baggage. What you have? And what I have? Because when I got married, I came with my baggage.
And his wife had none.
My wife came with her baggage. But I was the perfect one. And so when I came, I got married in our Indian culture, how I was brought up. The food must be placed on the table. When I take off my socks and I drop it there, my wife, our family will take it and put it aside. So I came with my baggage and I had great expectation. So I went to church. And I came back that Sabbath evening, and after AY, I came on, I took my socks and I threw it in the living room. It's my wife's responsibility to take that and put it in the hamper. That's how I grew up. That was my baggage. So I came Monday, and the socks were still there. Tuesday, the socks were still there, and I keep watching her because I was cutting out my ground. Wednesday, it was there. And I noticed by Thursday, it's not moving. So by Friday before she vacuumed, and when she vacuumed in around it. So I pick it up and I put it in the hamper. And I walked up to her, newly married. And I said, honey, why didn't you pick up that socks? And she said to me, I said, that's my culture. She said, that's your culture. That's not my culture. Where I came from, whatever you put down, you pick up. She never picked it up. But then, do you think that the next time I dropped it dead? No. So when our children were growing up, we taught them that you, whatever you put down, you get up, you take up. And so therefore, we all come with our baggage. My wife had a baggage, and she could tell you her baggage. Pick her up for church. If I say I come in at 9, my wife is ready for 10. And one day, I came, I just drove off. I left her down there with a hat on her head. Yeah, I left her. What do you think happened the next Sabbath? She was there on time. She had a baggage and I had a baggage. She was cutting her space, I was cutting. So now our children growing up take from us as a boat culture. Our children now are growing and they're looking and they're seeing how we operate. But now when they go off to school, peer pressure, unresolved anger, and their tongue. Those young people's tongue could move. It could wag back and forth. And we need to talk to our children about sex. Sometimes you think it's taboo. When I grew up, one day I saw a woman who was pregnant. And I went home and I said, I saw a lady who is pregnant. And you know what? My father gave me one lick. We couldn't even say certain things. You come to North America and everything is free and everything is open. But you know, we ought to teach our children certain things. Appearance, mediocrity. We ought to let our children know. Are we talking about healthy family? We need to let our children know that when they come into the house of God, at least dress respectfully.
We don't want to talk about that.
Well, that's the next topic. And then we go to dating. And then the media business. We're talking about family. Do you know the media is captivating the minds of our children? And who here on Facebook? Oh, yeah. I'm not on Facebook. You know why I'm not on Facebook? It takes all my time. The only Facebook I put my face in my book. And so that's what's happening with families today. You go to church and you look. Our children are always busy texting and they're doing something. So we are struggling with our families. How about you?
We have a few more challenges to look at. And this is for the wives. We have another area we're going to talk about in relation to my husband mentioned about the socks and the culture. The important thing that I want to pass on here, do you know that through it all, and even that day when I didn't pick the socks up, we never quarreled about it. We talked about it. He said, honey, he asked me why, and I answered. The important thing is that we communicated. We talked a lot when we were courting. And it's now 28 years later. And I still want to talk with him.
It's all because of me, 28 years. And God.
I still want to talk with him because we had a good relationship before. If he goes quiet, I know that, well, I shouldn't say anything just yet. And if I have something to say, I said, honey, I have something to say. But that comes with trust. That comes with love. When my children ask and they say, Mom, tell us how you met Dad. We could tell you about that. One of the things they learned, I said, I love them at first sight. And they said, you did?
Yes.
And it is really true.
He must love me at first sight.
And I just love him. And I, 28 years
done. Just look at me.
And I can still laugh at it, but it is good. And if you experience that in your life, and somebody else may not have experienced that, that's okay to talk about it because it tells and it shares that people can still love each other. And especially if we are planning to go to heaven and we are walking with him, what else is going to happen? We are going to love each other. But I tell you something, Satan is on the attack and he will destroy homes when we don't communicate, when we don't share what is in what is really happening. And sometimes, my husband mentioned, it can be because of the baggages we take into marriages. We are scared to talk and to share because we don't want to be vulnerable. I don't want him to know this because he's not going to love me anymore. And likewise for the husbands. The important thing as we look at our young people, the tents are filled with them. We see them walking around. We have young ones of our own. Our youngest one is 16. And the oldest one, if I tell you, then you'll try to guess my age. And I mean, after a while, I try to forget the numbers. So the important thing is that we do have children. And all of us know that the same problems, whether you're from a different culture, whatever culture you're from, remember that we have one Father. And our children will have similar challenges, similar problems. And when they get together, they talk. And if we close our eyes and pretend as if it's not happening, we are not helping our children. We have to come face on and let our children know we know what is happening out there. My husband mentioned the other era about talking about sex. They know far more than we do. But we still need to have a dialogue. We still need to talk with them because that lets them know that we are human and we understand what they are going through, the challenges. And another thing is that I am praying that our young people on the campgrounds, your grandchildren, my child, and whoever is here, that they can experience a sense of trusting even one person. Because without that, they suffer in silence. And even if you're scared to say it, growing up, my mom would never say the word sex. But even growing up and you're scared to say it, just speak to God and ask Him to give you the courage and say, I understand what you're going through. I know what it is. I may not be the one who talks openly about it, but it is real. Satan will destroy you. There are things you have to be aware of. And I'm sure as we do that and work with our children, they will come to understand that there is a God and He's real because it's reflected in the lives of moms and dads, whether you're a single mom, a single dad, or you have an intact family.
There's a few things that we don't like to talk about. And so I gave you one point just now. You know, the church must become a marriage and family equip center.
Yes.
Every church. Because issues that we are facing, do you know one of the number one issues the church is facing with its members? You may not want to believe it, but one of the issues that is devastating our churches is pornography. Pornography. It's easy accessible on the cell phone. It's easy accessible on the internet. It's easy accessible in the media, on the television, wherever. Mm-hmm. And that is destroying the church, is destroying relationships. We don't want to talk about it, but I want you to know it is prevalent. I know of young men who came to me and they spoke to me in confidence. Pastor, would God forgive me? I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know how to get off of it. But how did you get hooked on the first place? It's because just browsing, you put the word family in on Google anytime. And for every word family comes up, something about sex shows up 10 times, 1 to 10. That's what our children and that's what husband and that's what wives and that's what family are facing today. And that's why the families are under attack by the enemy. Right, left and center, front and back, from the side, from the top, we are being attacked. And we have God out of the picture. We go to seminars, we read books, we read tape, but we need to go to the Word of God. And if God is in the relationship, if God is in the home, if we have altars at the home erected to the glory of God, then I could guarantee you upon the word of God, we will have good families. Amen. God cannot lie. But we neglect the word of God. We neglect our worship. We neglect our family time. So we need to have reformation. We need to do things differently. Every church needs to be a center where family, we should have every month a family day. Families. attitudes, substance abuse. Do you know where children they are? Do you know what they're taking? Substance abuse. And so,
just to mention about substance abuse, substance abuse may not be just illicit drugs. Drugs that you can freely get on the market out there, whether under the counter or... Substance abuse can be prescribed medications. There was a big discussion about it recently, and they are saying that you may be prescribed a certain drug, and most of the drug, if the narcotics, and it have there are properties in it that you can get addicted to. And it's very easy to do that. No one wants to feel pain or likes pain. But one of the things we ask is that there are drugs out there that our children can easily access. And sometimes it's not picked up and it's too late. They may be absent from school. They go quiet. They're more in their rooms. And there are some homes that are well equipped that the children have their TVs, their computers. They don't need to come to the living room to have a talk with you. And you know, as you step into your car and you're driving several hours, if you don't try to make a conversation, your children may not even talk with you because they're busy talking otherwise. And this is so evident and rampant. And if we are not able to pick up the signs of substance abuse, sometimes it's too late. And sometimes when we do pick it up, we don't want to talk about it because we are embarrassed. One of the things I've said to family members as I talk with them in relation to the older adult, and they said, my mom has dementia, and my mom, it's embarrassing. It's like, I don't want her to be out that others can see her because she was not like that. I have often said, it's not about you. It's about your mom or your dad. Give him or her the joy of life. They need the sunshine. They need to see others. So when we become embarrassed by certain things, we may go quiet and we refuse the help that is so readily available to us. So if you know of a family member, a neighbor, someone you can help, just reach out and help. And if you're taking a medication that is, you're feeling worried about it, you can't do without it, try and speak with your healthcare provider so that that person can work with you to get something else and do other therapies for you that you don't become addicted. But substance abuse, always remember, it is not only due to illicit drugs, but it can also be by prescribed medications.
You know, there was a survey done, I think, by Barnes Research on some of the needs in the churches. You'll be amazed to know, they say the following are the percentage of adults in this stage who said they want help from their church with needs like spiritual growth. 70% of the members in your churches are crying out for spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. Then what are we preaching? What are we doing wrong? Or what we need to do right? Next thing, spiritual discipline. 66% of the people feel that they need spiritual discipline. In other words, somebody would do something, but because of who you are in the community, discipline is not administered, and they get away with it. And so the children look at how we treat people because of who we know, get away with it, and they too fall in that pattern, and they're going to do it. So the church must be consistent in how she administers discipline across the board, regardless to who you are. And it says also that children, they're asking for spiritual growth. Parents are saying, I want you to help me with my children. 64% of parents, they say, please help us with our children so they could have some spiritual growth. And then developing and maintaining a good marital communication, 51%. They want that. Family communication, 51% also. Families, they're asking, they want to know, how could we communicate and be more effective? Understanding your spouse needs and expectation, 50%. Now, if you look at these statistics, you know that we have fallen short all along the way. So the Family Life Ministries, we want to pick it up. And in every church, we should have a center to look after the families in the church, the families that are being neglected in our churches. We should have a Conrad-sponsored family day. It's good to have seminars. It's good to read books. It's good to listen to tapes. But we need to interact as families. Take time off with your family. Now, I'm talking to you about what I ought to do also. I'm not sitting up here and telling you I'm the perfect. I tell you, my wife's going to tell you I'm not the perfect man.
Amen. But he's wonderful.
You know, this is what I put up for 28 years. 28 years, I put up with the same woman. But you know, I'll tell you, we all need to lift the bar. We all need to have wonderful, healthy families. And I know for surety, if we have a Christ-centered relationship, we will have Christ-centered families.
Amen.
There's no doubt about it. Yeah. I don't care if you don't need a PhD to know that. Yeah. Developing character in our children and building strong marriages. Go ahead.
My husband touched a very... It means so much to me. Very important point. In building healthy families, I want to reach out to all of us on the campground. Developing healthy relationships starts with who? Starts with me. Starts with you. I've often said to the children, as I said, we have three girls and a boy. And our son actually marches in August, graduating in theology at Andrews. We often say to our children, you cannot go to heaven on your father's coattail. He's a pastor. It doesn't matter, because he's a pastor, you're going to go to heaven. If your mom is a deaconess, you're going to go to heaven. What we have instilled is that we have to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Now, I look at myself as a wife. I was raised and bred in a Christian Seventh-day Adventist home. But that doesn't necessarily mean I'm entitled to heaven. I think it's a privilege that I got that start. Because maybe if I were not born and bred a Christian, then maybe it would have been hard for other pastors or Bible workers to reach me. So whatever circumstances you find yourself in, we are still at the base, at the foot of the cross. And when I, as a wife, decide that Jesus is important to me and I need to prepare and so order my life that I see his face, I will seek his face in private moments. I will have my devotion. I will pray. So when my husband and myself kneel by the bed in the mornings and we pray together, it's not that he's praying to a God that I'm wondering, who is he talking with? He's praying to our Father, because I've established my relationship with God. He has established his relationship with God. And together, we are walking with God, hoping that we will reflect what a Christian life should look like. But it is not something that happens overnight. The wife's love, ladies, the wife's love, the smile. And you know that we help our husbands, and the men are not hearing this. If we, by God's grace, be who God wants us to be for God, then we have no doubt that we will be what God wants us to be for our husbands and our children. But it starts with you. It starts with me finding Jesus. Then and then can we emulate Jesus in our homes.
You know, we're talking about family life ministry. We have four children. We have four. When we got married, my wife wanted one. But being from an Indian family, I wanted five. If you give me 10, I'll take them. But I wanted at least five. And my wife said she wants one. We're talking about family. And so therefore, we got the first one. And when we got the first one, I would always jump up in the night and take care of the little baby and rock the baby while she would sleep. And she felt so good, she said, let's have two. And so I noticed it worked with one and it worked with two. So we got two. So I was looking at a family call from home and asked, how are you doing? I said, we're getting there. And then when it worked with two, she said, let's have three. And I noticed I'm getting to five. So I would get up in the night and rock the third one. And then she said, let's have a next one. Four. And four came. And then I noticed 1 year passed and she ain't saying nothing. 2 years passed and she's saying nothing and I'm waiting for the five. 3 years gone by. I said, what about the next one? She said, why don't you have the last one? So we have four children by the grace of God, and I want to let you know today it's a challenge. I'm not going to come here and tell you we are, no, far from it. We have our challenges. And I believe by the grace of God, what I have known is as long as you get on your knees and you pray for your family, God always comes through.
Amen.
Never give up on God. For your family, we need to wrestle. And I believe that the churches, as churches, we need to do better for families. I believe we need to be more intentional in creating wonderful family atmosphere within our church. And I believe if we could do that intentional, as this conference has been doing now, I believe we're going to have wonderful churches, wonderful homes, wonderful families. So when Jesus comes, at least we could hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Isn't that our desire? To have wonderful, wonderful families? Because our families are struggling. But the thing about it, we mask it. I'm sure when this auditorium is full, and I'm sure if I got a survey with five questions, and I'm sure if I give it to everyone and I say, put it without, don't even put your name, and I give you five questions to answer honestly and send it back, I could guarantee you here today about 80% of the families will say we are struggling. We are struggling. But the women in our congregation, they struggle silently. The men struggle also silently. So we need to develop the altar. We need to develop centers in our churches. We need to have family life ministries in our church. Family life day. Family life month. Talk about family. Bring our children in. Help them by the grace of God. So these are some of the mandates we want to establish. My wife and myself. And we want to go to the churches. We want to share what God has done for us. And by doing that, I believe we could have wonderful families in the church. Did I hear you say amen?
Amen.
I believe God can do it. Because he started in Eden. With a wonderful family. And the devil steps in to dismantle and disintegrate the family. He comes in all angle. He comes in all shape. He comes in all color. He comes in all fashion. Just want to destabilize us. Just want to. You see, if the devil could get at the home and the family, he's going to ruin the church. But Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen? God's intention is we should have strong, loving, caring families. Testimonies to the Church, Volume 2, page 701. Ellen White say, the Father, he's the lawmaker, illustrating in his own manly bearing, sometimes a stern virtue, energy, integrity, honesty, patience, courage, diligence, and practical usefulness. The Father in the home, he set the pace in the home for the family. The Father sets the pace. And whereas the old Father, Ellen White say, the Mother sets the pace. I'll tell you, my wife is more concerned about the children than myself. It shouldn't be, but I'm always running here, there, and everywhere. So I have to cut back. Since I took on this type of ministry, I have to show my children, well, you know, how could I go preaching family life ministry and I'm not home? And so the Father, as a father, God has called us to be the priest in the home. When the father and mother are priests and teachers, now listen. Listen what Reflecting Christ Ellen White said. When the father and mother as priest and teacher of the family take their position fully on the side of Christ, a good influence will be exerted in the home, and this sanctified influence will be felt in the church and will be recognized by every believer. Now that is potent. Mother and family. Mother and father and the family. And that will be impacting the church, the way we live, the way we present ourselves in God's house.
When you accept God as your Savior, that means when we as families accept God as our Savior, He, our Redeemer and Lord, will make us His children. If we have not done that yet, I hope that we will accept Him now. But we have to understand what it means to be children of God. God is our Father and He loves us. We are part of Him, and it is not hard work for Him to lead us. He thinks it's wonderful, and there is nothing too great for His omnipotence, and nothing too small for His love. Why I said this in relation, my husband was speaking about the role of mothers and fathers. In today's world, we stand beside each other. We don't say it's dad's work and mom's work, because we are a unit. And I pray, we pray that when we emulate, when we reach out, when we become honest in voicing what is happening, because if we don't voice it, throw it out, look at it, we will not be able to make plans to make it better. So when there are issues, when there are concerns, don't say, I don't want to talk about it. It's not important. Don't hide behind the pain. Because Satan is not going to leave you. We are not immune, but we have an advocate in the Father. Troubles will come our way in the Christian homes, but rest assured that God will see us through. It is only for us to give it over to Him. And when we give it over to Him, though we are going through the storm, we can smile. Now, we have about 20 minutes. My husband is going to say something. And if you have a question, if you have something to share, as we come as a unit, I would like you to get that opportunity in sharing something about the family. And we will incorporate this as we go to the seminar for the week. The important thing is that your voice, you have a bundle of knowledge that is going to be very helpful to the next sister, the next brother, the next mother, father. And we will give you that time as my husband look at these two other slides.
Now, Psalm 128, 1 and 2 say, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hand. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. The Bible says, blessed the one who fear God. God must be, I keep reiterating it, that God must be paramount in our home, in our relationship. Do you know, in our relationship, I mentioned a little while ago, communication is number one. Well, let me tell you something. Do you know women are better communicators than men? Do you know that? Do you know women are better communicators than men? You know that, right? Do you know, because men could be right or right brain or left, but in women there's a tissue that connects their brain here that moves information rapidly. So a man should not ever try to engage in an argument with a woman. Don't do it. Because it is said that when they engage in an argument, the man, because he's left brain or right brain, he got to think what he got to say. So when he reached up to her and she sat, he can't take it, so he runs. And when he runs, he think about now he got what he got to say. So he comes back. And when he comes back, before he could open him out, she's off again. So two things he could do is fight or flight. So in our relationship, women must understand that a man speaks, they say, about 12,000 words per day, plus a woman could speak 24. So when he goes to work and he spends his 12, and you spend 12, you still have 12,000 to throw on him when he comes home. And poor fella sit down looking at the paper, and you say, did you hear what I say? Oh, she still have 1,000 more to go. And she'll give you those 12,000 and empty it on you even while you're sleeping. So we got to understand in the family dynamics, we got to understand the family. So once we understand male, female, and our children, and we learn to respect each other and build that momentum, we can have strong families by the grace of God. Amen? Amen. But we have to understand each other. In our family, I'm the talker. My wife, we have never argued in 28 years. You know why? Because once I know she's getting off the hook, I just stay quiet. Because I don't want to say something I'll be regretting. So I just don't. I just don't. And you know, since we got married, I never called her by her first name yet. In 28 years, I never call her honey, by her first name.
Honey. He calls
that's
me
all.
Honey.
She'll be in a store and call honey. And you know, I look in and people wonder if it's the honey on the shelf they're looking for. That's what Jesus have done in my life. My wife don't like me to say it, but I will tell you, I was heading to church. You know, I came from a Muslim background, and after I accepted Christ, and I was heading to a church in Toronto. I stopped at a light, and I just went off to church. And when I went off to church, I saw this young lady, and she looked good. You see, with me, when I see a nice girl and I was a single man, I'll go after you. I wouldn't wait for the next fella to come by and me. So I looked at her and she was talking to a tall, handsome fellow. He was more handsome than I am. He was much taller than I am. And I looked at her at a distance and I did this to her. And she came over and I told her, I said, you see that fellow you're talking to? You tell him I'm taking you home. And from then to today, she's still home with me. Now the other fella, he lose out. He, if you sleep, you're going to lose. Early bird, get the worm. And so since we got married, if it wasn't for God, it's not about me or my wife, it's God. And we always had that in Ontario. We were in family life. In the Mansa's conference, we were in family life. And when the conference asked and they said, would you do this for us? Since my wife is finishing her doctoral program, I said she could take it and I will help her. And we're going to do it together, not for us, but for God. It's not that we get paid for this, but we want to help families because God has been good to our family. You know, my brother-in-law just died in Trinidad. And I flew down there to that funeral. My brother George, he was there. And we got together with our one sister, four boys and one girl. Her husband was 63 years old, and he died. You know, it devastated our family, but when families come together, there is strength in the grace of God, okay? And let me tell you something. We became Seventh-day Adventists because of my brother George. As I told you, my father threw him out of the home, and we just accepted Christ. I ran away from home and came to Toronto, and that's where I met her. Being an Adventist, and I just was a new Adventist. And so I'm the best thing in her life since sliced bread. And she could tell you that.
Amen.
Thank you. So we want to pray. And but before we pray, how did you see me?
As I said, when I saw him, I loved him at first sight. I really did. I just said, that guy is cute. I waved to him.
Thank you.
And when we reached church, I was so embarrassed because in Toronto, you're not going to see the person again. I didn't know. And when I saw him coming on the lower aisle, and the same eyes I looked into, he said, hello. And I said, hi. I was really embarrassed. But we kept going to the Serious Burns Crusade. And we were married, and the children are doing pretty well. God has been good.
But there was a next girl who loved me.
I know, but we'll tell you that in the next session.
Anyhow.
She's laughing. Now, I want to say, I really thank you for being here. And the family life is very important to us because we believe that love is alive. And even if somebody said, well, you can love for so long, love, you grow out of love. I don't believe so. I have watched my older patients walking hand to hand.
Yes.
Holding, looking at each other, waiting on each other, just loving. And I think if we grow in love, we just love each other better. And the thing about it is that it is not impossible. We just have to let go of our selfishness and let God take the lead. It's not about us. It's about Him. And when He lives in us, we ought to be better. And we can't help being better. And I pray that as wives, as we pray for our husbands, and Christ lives through us, that He lives through our husbands, and they will be better. And what do we have? Good relationships.
Yeah.
So God help each and every one of you as we continue to pray and walk together. In Jesus' name.
I just want you.